Would you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Father God, your Son told us, don't worry. And sometimes I think, well, we could if we would. But you've given us tools to help us with that, God. And as we go through this series, I pray that you would speak truth to us wherever we are, whatever our burdens are. You would comfort us with your truth that trumps all of our cares and all of our worries, and that we would, in fact, believe your promises. Teach us here now and speak through my words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are continuing on in this peace of mind series. I hope that it is a blessing to you. It should be. It is to me. And I really and truly pray that it is to you. A little bit of a sum up. We started week one, with a new script, you know, renewing our minds. I went through some of the affirmations that I'd written down that we'd had up on the board. I put them out back, and they were all gone. I don't know if somebody just went recycle or if people really took all those. I went and made more copies. They're back there if you desire. You can take those home. You can do whatever you want with them. But just note that they're not just things that I made up. There's Bible verses, because they're truth that God has put in the Bible for you. And then we wrapped up last week with this statement, and I'm going to invite you to say this with me. Where I am is okay, even though there's further to go. And this is true. I hope that you believe it, not just saying it because the pastor made you say it. Right? This is part of acceptance. We are accepted. This is grace. That even if you never get any better, God could not love you any more than He does right now. And I think that's important for us all to grab hold of. It's not necessarily affirmation. It's not saying that you couldn't be any better, but it's saying, I love you just the way you are right now. So with that in place, I wanted to jump back today and talk about a little bit, just kind of reaffirm the need for this. And maybe I don't need to even ensure you that peace of mind, mental health, is something that we all should be concerned about. But I want to just mention that a recent psychological journal said that 40 million adults suffer from some kind of anxiety disorder. 40 million adults. That's just astounding to me. And a recent study, this is even more astounding. A recent study indicates that we are more anxious today than at any time since, and I'm going to pause there and let you just think. I could let you call stuff out, but I'm not going to. Any time since the Cold War? Nope. World War II, surely we were worried about Nazis at that time. Nope. How about the Great Depression? Also no. Yeah, the answer is, since they've been measuring, started in the 1930s, we are at an all-time high, higher than any of those times in history. Let that sink in for just a minute. We are more anxious now than we were in the middle of the Great Depression, than the middle of World War II, when the outcome was very uncertain, than the Cold War, when kids were learning to dive under their desks in case of nuclear attack. And what it tells us is that our anxiety has nothing to do with the economic state of the world. It has nothing to do with whether we're at war. So what is up with this? What has changed so much that we are so very anxious now? Well, I can't tell you that I have just a single thing to attribute all this to. A lot has changed. A whole lot has changed. But one of the things that has changed, I think, is that we have so many choices today. And I know that sounds a little bit crazy. You're going to think, but choices are good, right? In fact, I dug up this old commercial for you, old Wendy's commercial. Some of you will recognize this, that just highlights the fact that we are all about having choices. See if you recognize this.
Having no choice is no fun. That's why at Wendy's, every hamburger isn't dressed the same. You get your choice of fresh toppings, fresh tomatoes, fresh lettuce, fresh onions, cheese, bacon, and more. Having a choice is better than not.
Isn't that swim there?
Choose fresh. Choose Wendy's.
All right. Anybody remember that commercial? No? I love that commercial. Height of the Cold War. Your parents will explain it to you if you don't remember. That's how we pictured Russians at the time. We're all about choices, right? Choices are good. We don't all want evening wear and swim wear and this is the Sunday wear, right? Choices are good, except sometimes they're not, or sometimes they're not all they're cracked up to be. So I thought I would tell you about a philosophical conundrum called Buridan's Ass. Not what you think, it's a donkey. Buridan was a French philosopher. He actually lifted this idea from Aristotle. The idea is that a donkey is very hungry and he's placed exactly in the middle of two delicious piles of hay, and he can't make up his mind where to go, and so he starves to death in between these two choices. It was supposed to take a shot at free will and determinism and all that kind of stuff, and you think, okay, this is one of those ridiculous philosophical arguments that only philosophers can have. Well, actually, let me introduce you to Aslan, my old dog, my Mastiff. And there was one time, he wasn't the brightest dog in the world, I'll just tell you that right off the bat, but I had two different kind of treats, and I thought, well, let's see which one he chooses. So I held him out to him about like this, and he walked up to the middle of them and went... Now, he didn't starve to death. Eventually, he did choose one of them. And you're thinking, okay, but I'm also smarter than a Mastiff. I don't think I'm going to fall for that either. But the truth is, we find ourselves in various forms of this all the time. In the military, we called it analysis paralysis. And it describes, a lot of times, general officers, generals would have a decision to make. Do we attack now? Do we dig in? Do we bomb this target or that target? When do we do these things? And the crazy thing about the military is you can always get a little bit more information. And so these guys would always have just a couple more questions, and they would delay and delay and delay making important decisions because the weight of that decision was just a little too much for them. And again, they just always need a little bit more information. We have the same kinds of questions in front of us, too. You know, what do we ask little kids? We do this all the time. You meet some kid, and you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know you ask them that. And when you're a little kid, you're like, I want to be a cowboy. And you're like, But eventually, they expect you to have real answers for this. And we have today a crazy number of options. So I thought I'd just share some of the options out there that you might not be aware of. Here's one. And now you're a healer. I don't even know how to pronounce this. But, you know, how hard can that be? Just rubbing some herbs on somebody's back. Or how about this one, a bike courier, you get some exercise, ride around the city, probably hardly ever get hit by cars, make a decent living at that. Body painter, did your high school counselor talk about being a body painter maybe? A color expert, because we need more color experts in the world today. How about a feng shui consultant? A fake Facebooker. Technically illegal, but you can actually create enough accounts and start liking things to where you actually are an influencer. It's a legitimate, maybe too strong a word, but it's an actual career. A hippotherapist. That's not a hippopotamus. It's from the Greek word for horse therapy. Nail polish namer. Somebody's got a name all of those colors. You're not necessarily a color expert. You're just coming up with names for them. A pickup artist instructor. Guys, you know you're thinking about it. They actually make tens of thousands of dollars on seminars like this. And then finally, a veterinary acupuncturist. Because who couldn't just stick some needles in a dog and say that he's doing better? Now, these are just some crazy ones. I could go on and on and on. This is the distracting facet of the internet when Mike's trying to get his message done. But you know, there's crazy, crazy numbers of options out there. And think about for just a second, if you're trying to figure out what you wanted to be, and it's like a multiple choice test, but it's not just A through D or A through E, it's A through hundreds of thousands of options. And there's no partial credit. You get it right or you get it wrong. And I think that's where we start to get more and more pressure. Because the idea is you have to get this right or you just won't be happy. If you want to think of it this way, if you're, say, out on a business trip somewhere, you're in a big city and you're by yourself, you need to choose where to go to lunch during the break. You've got a whole bunch of options. Is it hard to choose, really? That's just you. You know, it's just lunch. No big deal. But what if you're choosing lunch for everybody else? Now there's a lot more pressure on you, right? Because the happiness of the entire group now rests on your shoulders. Well, start thinking about that in terms of marriage, in terms of career, in terms of, are you going to buy a house? What house are you going to buy? Is it going to have all these problems? These decisions that we make now, all kinds of decisions, and we put so much pressure on these things. And if you get them right, then you're eternally happy. And if you get them wrong, you're going to be eternally miserable. And when we start thinking in that way, how can we get anything but anxiety as a result? And compare that to 1,000 years ago. What were you going to do when you grow up? Whatever Dad did, I guess. I'm going to be a cooper. I'm going to be a blacksmith. I'm going to be a fowler. Not a lot of choice there, but were people miserable? Not really. Who are you going to marry? Well, they're arranged marriages. I'm going to marry whoever my parents tell me to marry. And as my friend Apu says, Mother, come on. You know that 1 out of every 25 arranged marriages ends in divorce. That, I think, is still true today. We pick out of any possible option, and 1 in every 2 marriages in America, give or take, a little better than that, but not much. 50% of marriages where you get to choose your own mate end in divorce. Whereas 1 in 25, not too bad, I suppose, of arranged marriages. And why is that? I think they've seen something that we may not understand. Now, I'm not advocating for arranged marriages. You think that's where this message is going? It's not. So everybody relax. What I would like to say, though, is, there's truth that should alleviate some of this pressure. The first truth, I think, is found in the psalm that we read earlier. Psalm 25. Now, just notice what the psalmist writes. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways. That's plural, O Lord. And teach me your paths. And I think what the psalmist is saying, among other things, is that there's not one single way, one single path that God has prepared for you. There are right choices on the path that you're on. But there's not one single thing that can make you happy. There are a number of paths that we can take. And see how he wraps this up in verse 7. He says, do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Now that love in the Hebrew is chesed. It means, usually it's translated as steadfast love. In the Greek, it's usually rendered agape. It's love that does not waver, does not fail. It's God's love for us. It's God's love that does not depend on if you choose the right hypnotherapist or nail polish color namer. It's God's love that doesn't even fail if you're not making all the right choices. If you're living a sinful life, God still loves you. And it's meant to encourage us. A little later on, we have a story from John the Baptist. We also read this. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, man, I'm really not pronunciating things very well today. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And look what he says. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you're authorized to do." And soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages." Think for just a second about these two groups of people. These are Roman soldiers who come up to him and say, "What should we do?" And you would almost expect John, who Jesus said, none born of women are greater than this guy, so it's not just anybody. You would expect John to say, "Quit the army. Stop beating up on Jewish people. You're in a dishonorable profession." And he doesn't say that at all. He says, "Where you are is fine. Just don't extort money from people. Be satisfied with your wages." And tax collectors, are you kidding me? What should we do? Stop being a tax collector. Everybody hates you. He doesn't tell them that. He says, just behave honestly where you are. Now, if John says that God can redeem these professions, that you can be loved by God, you can be a good Jew, a good, well, today, Christian, in any of those professions, why are we so worried about the choices that we make today? Jesus says, don't worry about the things you wear, don't worry about what you're going to eat, and I think he could have continued on. Don't worry about what you're going to do if they had the kind of myriad choices that we have today. I thought I'd wrap up today by kind of answering in my own personal way some of the questions that plague us. Some of these questions may be plaguing you. So I thought I'd just start off with this. If you're thinking, will this job bring me joy? The answer is no. Because you're looking for joy in the wrong place. Will this job make me reasonably happy? The answer is probably it will. Because we could be happy doing a number of different things, but your joy is only found in one place. It's with God. Well, how about this question? Is this the right person for me? Well, to that I say, if you are currently married to them, then yes, they are the right person for you. I'm not going to answer specifics if you're not married. You'll have to make up your own mind there. Here's the overarching kind of question here. Are you worried that you might not have the wisdom and the foresight to make all the right decisions? If this is plaguing you, if this is causing anxiety for you, don't worry. You don't. None of us do. We lack that. Now, we think maybe we do because we look back at decisions we made when we were children and say, "Oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, and I'm so much wiser today." But that's an illusion. That's hindsight plus age. Sure, I can look back at an 8-year-old and say, "I could make better decisions than that." But the idea that I can make perfect decisions now, that's nothing but pride. So the first thing to do is get rid of that. And begin to put your trust not in your own ability to make the perfect choice, but in the God who has chesed for you, who agapes you, who loves you with a love that will not fail no matter what you do. And instead of saying, is this the perfect choice? Because it's probably not. We can begin to ask, can God bless this? And if tax collectors and Roman soldiers find that God can bless them, then I think the answer is probably yes for us as well. So stop worrying. God can bless you where you are, if you ask. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, thank you for all the choices that we have, and yet save us from all the choices that we have. Lord, let us just view these things as freedom rather than the burden of having to get the perfect choice for so many different things. It's not that our choices don't have any meaning at all, but they're not normally as important as we make them out to be, God. You can bless so many different things in so many different ways. Just help us to not put our trust in the wrong things. Because we have failed and we will fail, but you won't. So I ask that you bring us comfort and peace and reassurance, knowing that wherever we are, Lord, you can bless us and you can turn our hearts back toward you, the only source of real, true joy. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.